everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. And sometimes the amount of stories that make their way to us means that we simply can't cover everything that comes our way. But from time to time, a story just stays with me, and I feel compelled to share it with you and give you my thoughts. And now, one more thing.
So, if you were paying attention to the news yesterday, you noticed that we suffered a couple of losses, notable losses in Black America. And far be it from us to ignore those losses. Indeed, we discuss Black issues, we discuss Black people. This is the Black Information Network. And I think that it's important for us to commemorate these losses in a way that only we can. And our late show producer, Denita Myers, always told us to make everything blackety black, 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 if we could. And today we are doing just that. We're going to discuss the one and only Mr. C, who lost his life on April 10th, and the one and only O.J. Simpson, who also lost his life on April 10th. And I could not ask for any better guests than the two that I have today. Morgan Wood and Bree Wood are joining me to cover these stories. So, Morgan, first, I will say welcome to One More Thing here on the Black Information Network.
Thanks, Ramses. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And Bree, it's always a joy to have you as well. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to roll us into this one. First up, we're going to acknowledge the passing of the pioneer rap DJ and radio host, Mr. C. I'm going to share a bit from Rolling Stone. Calvin LeBrun, known in New York as the legendary DJ Mr. C, has died at 57. Hot 97 announced the news, citing his family confirmed the death. Peter Rosenberg took to X or Twitter to pay tribute to his former colleague. In the station's official statement regarding his death, New York's Hot 97 said, quote, "As a family at Hot 97 and WBLS, we are deeply saddened by the passing of our beloved Mr. C. He wasn't just a DJ. He was a pillar of our stations, bringing joy to countless listeners with his legendary throwback at noon and Friday night live sets," unquote. C, who was helming the Set It Off show on Sirius XM's Rock the Bells radio, was also renowned for DJing parties all over the tri-state area for decades. Along with being a legendary radio fixture, the Brooklynite, known as The Finisher, was the DJ behind Big Daddy Kane's Long Live the Kane debut album, and also had a hand in the early chapters of late Notorious B.I.G.'s career. Late Brooklyn DJ 50 Grand received Notorious B.I.G.'s original demo and introduced him to C, who told Rock the Bells about meeting Biggie. The story goes from there. So I obviously I'm familiar with with Mr. C being a DJ. He and I also shared a birthday. And I just kind of knew that he was a titan in hip hop, but I know that there's a lot more to his story. And you know, we this is a news program and we share the news. And so I'm gonna get your thoughts first on this one, Bree, and then Morgan, we'll get your thoughts afterwards.
You know, I did not know much about Mr. C, aside from the fact that he was a legendary DJ. But I mean, you can just tell by the reactions online, the effect that he had on the entertainment industry and the hip hop community specifically. Several people have expressed their condolences in losing him. Sure. 50 Cent, he said, you know, RIP to the legend, Mr. C. God bless him. To all his family and friends, I send my condolences. And DJ Premier, he honored Mr. C with a message saying that he had endless memories in the hip hop culture and rest peacefully to the finisher, which you just referenced. He also got condolences from Chuck D of Public Enemy and called him the Beats Man and said he was a good dude. Mm-hmm. And Peter Rosenberg, you also mentioned, of Hot 97. He said, we lost an iconic DJ in Mr. C. And he was just talking about just listening to him yesterday. And he's in complete shock. So apparently he was a dear friend to several people and was a very impactful DJ. And also legendary DJ Jazzy Jeff mentioned him as well, sharing his grief. And he simply said, rest in peace. Yeah. So, you know, regardless of what other things he was in the news for, he was a beloved figure in the music industry, most known for his work with Big Daddy Kane and for, like you said, discovering Biggie. Mm-hmm. So his contribution to hip hop will last, and hip hop culture, it will last. And I think that will be what people remember, mm-hmm. not anything dramatic, but basically the impact that he had on the culture, especially in New York.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the dramatic things, and hip hop is still growing up. You know, there are some, you know, to be, for the sake of informing our listeners, Mr. C was arrested in 2013, and for a lot of people that didn't know him at that time, they became familiar with him. And I remember hearing that later in his career, he identified as trisexual. He came out as trisexual. And so this is something that, when I say hip hop is still growing up, these are things that it's taking folks who are really subscribed to hip hop culture, particularly in New York, to get comfortable with. I think that I've seen some growth in hip hop, but Mr. C kind of owning his sexuality in whatever way he chose to define it. I think that there is some good in that there is kind of like a pioneering spirit in that capacity as well, because there are people who have different sexual identities who love hip hop culture. And hip hop famously has been very welcoming to peoples all around the earth. And for a lot of people who have different sexual orientations, it might feel like maybe it's for everybody else but me, or maybe I should probably keep that under wraps. And so when people like Mr. C, people like Lil Nas X, you know, Young M.A., is a name that came up recently as well, and other folks, when they own that part of who they are and they still kind of stand on business and they're still these huge figures, I think that it ultimately contributes to the growth of hip hop and a more welcoming version of hip hop that is not so exclusive and excludes people based on what I believe to be, you know, the circumstances of their birth. I believe that people are kind of born with a sexual orientation. And to be fair, I recognize that scientifically speaking, that can be fluid. But for the most part, you know, folks are kind of born knowing what it is that they're into. And it goes from there. So I didn't mean to jump in front of you here, Morgan. I, of course, want to get your thoughts on this as well.
To your point, we only just last year celebrated the 50th anniversary of hip hop and sure. And this tragedy that, you know, losing this Brooklyn DJ, Mr. C, mm-hmm. He's dead at 57. Now, right now, we don't know the cause of his death, but seven years prior to, you know, he was just born. Mm-hmm. So not only was he a pioneer in the hip hop scene, but to your point, he had a major impact. He was extremely respected. And that 2013 situation where he was caught with a transsexual prostitute, he was arrested and initially denied being gay, but then 10 years later came out and said that he was trisexual, could have been a pivotal turning point, to your point, in hip hop. In the hip hop industry and how it deals with homophobia, because then you start to see the emergence of artists like Young M.A., Lil Nas X, and even
Saucy Santana.
Saucy Santana.
Yeah, there's another one, sure.
So it's very sad, but there is a deeper conversation to be had about people who are so respected and the impact that they had, regardless of their sexuality.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I end up I know that Mr. C is associated with hip hop, not with his sexual orientation. Indeed, every human being is more than just their sexual orientation. But while we're here and while we're able to discuss this,
especially what's going on with, you know, some of his own colleagues in Bad Bad Boys.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a fantastic point. But one of the things that I want to say here, and this is just because I have a microphone in an audience. One of the things that I've learned in recent years in covering the amount of gun deaths that we're subjected to in this country, a huge number of suicides by handgun, a huge number of young people, a huge number of people with different sexual orientations that would end their lives rather than endure a reality. You know, we have always affirmed that life is precious. Black life is precious, but life is precious. Just imagine how complicated it is to create life and how unique life is and how easy it is for it to just be extinguished. Life is precious. And so to understand the amount of pain and the amount of trauma and hurt that a person must endure prior to deciding to take their own life, it certainly caused me to rethink how to approach the topic of human sexuality. And I was born a straight man, I like to think of myself as an ally to people who are marginalized, people who have a tougher go at life. I recognize that I was very lucky and work harder than anybody. Everybody works hard. You know what I mean? I'm not smarter than everybody. Everybody's smart. You know what I mean? I was very lucky to be in the position that I am. And I've always tried my best to heed the responsibility that comes with having, again, a microphone in a city that'll listen to you, or now a country that'll listen to you. And so when I look at stories like, you know, Mr. C's story, where he had to go that extra 10 years of perhaps wrestling with the truth, you know, wrestling with a part of who he is, a part of how he identifies, a part of perhaps even how he lives his life, or maybe he just didn't live that part of his life because of fear. I feel like sharing his story might encourage people to keep going. Yeah. It might encourage people to maybe soften their ears when they're interacting with folks who might have a different sexual orientation. Maybe there's a ripple effect that comes from Mr. C standing up and affirming his truth and us sharing that part of his very full life. This isn't the only part of it, but his very full life. Us sharing that, I think that might do some good. I salute Mr. C. He's my birthday twin, of course, and of course, a pioneer. And, you know, we don't get to talk about these sorts of things very often in hip hop culture. So there's another reason to salute him. And, it feels like he's gone too soon, but, you know, I would say a life well lived, and I think we're all a little bit better for it. All right. And next up, we have someone who is, he's a problematic figure. I think that would go without saying. O.J. Simpson, one of the most infamous high-profile Americans of all time, is dead after a cancer battle. I'll share a bit of this story, and then, of course, we'll go to you two to get your thoughts as well. So it's from TMZ. The former NFL great who stood trial for the double murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ron Goldman in the 90s, only to be acquitted, passed away Wednesday in Las Vegas. This according to his family. There's a tweet from the family that says, on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. And it's signed the Simpson family. And we now know that that was prostate cancer that he was battling. I'll share a bit more from the article. It goes without saying, OJ's life was momentous for a variety of reasons, lots of good and bad, especially in his later post-football years. Before that, though, he was a beloved All-American hero on the field, a Heisman winner from USC, and a Buffalo Bills legend. Even after football, he was a bona fide A-lister in Hollywood, acting in tons of movies and TV shows. He actually acted in a film with my uncle. It was one of the Naked Gun movies or something like that. But OJ and my uncle were in the film together. I learned that recently. So anyway,
nice.
And he famously served as the face and pitchman for Hertz for many, many years. His death marks the end of a multi-decade saga of crime and intrigue surrounding OJ, which peaked after the brutal slayings of Nicole, his ex-wife, and Ron, her friend, in 1994, and in the aftermath of what was dubbed the trial of the century when OJ was prosecuted on national TV. So we're going to, this time we're going to start with you, Morgan. Let's get your thoughts, you know, and then Bree will follow up with you.
Yeah, let's he was called the Juice. And because I cover sports on the Black Information Network, I will touch on the sports aspect.
He
was picked number one in 1969 by the NFL in the 1969 NFL draft by the Buffalo Bills. He went number one. He rushed for 2003 yards in 1973, making him the first player to reach the 2000 yard mark and the only player to do so in a 14 game season. The Juice. He was also the first player to rush for at least 250 yards in a game, and his 273 yards against the Detroit Lions, sorry, Bree, on Thanksgiving Day in 1976 is the sixth highest total in NFL history still to this day. So OJ the Juice Man, not the rapper, but the actual football player, which goes to show, you know, he had such a dynamic life. We know him for so many different things. Of course, the Bronco even has made a return because of the infamous chase that, you know, we all remember watching nationally televised car speeding chase in which he was driving that white Bronco in LA in 1994, where the police were looking for him. So a dynamic person for sure. And it's just, you know, it's unfortunate that his reputation for various things will precede him.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate that because I'm not the biggest football or sports person, famously. And so I know that that's obviously a big part of his story. Bree, let's get you to weigh in here as well.
You know, the first word that comes to mind when I think of O.J. Simpson is polarizing. And that is especially because of the trial of the century, which has been talked about ad nauseum since it happened. I was just a child, but I will never forget watching the verdict live where he was found not guilty of the murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman. That is a case that followed him for the rest of his life. He's had lawsuits the rest of his life. And, you know, whatever you felt about O.J. Simpson, he was multifaceted. Yeah. We didn't know him for that first. Again, Morgan went over his sports history, an outstanding athlete, and then he pivoted into a career in film and television. Also, before I jump into that, Morgan, I want to say that Bronco, you know, his friend Al Cowlings was the one driving that. He was in the back, trying not to be photographed. So he was speeding down the freeway, just trying to get him somewhere where the news couldn't find him. But as far as O.J. Simpson and his career, he had a notable acting career following his success as a professional football player. And just to highlight a few, you mentioned the Naked Gun film series. He appeared in the Naked Gun as Detective Norberg, which included titles like The Naked Gun from the Files of the Police Squad and Naked Gun 2.5 and Naked Gun 33 1/3, which is one of my favorite movies because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
He also had a role in the classic movie The Towering Inferno. That was back in 1974, and also was a part of the cast of HBO's football sitcom First and 10. Wow. And on television, he was part of the cast of his other credits include movies like Cocaine and Blue Eyes, that was in the 80s, and Capricorn One, among others, in the 70s. And so he was diverse in his acting career. He could do comedy, he could do action, he could do a little bit of drama. But it just seems as though, you know, the one thing he will go down in history as being is someone who got off. And I only say that because every time he's mentioned in the media, they start with his murder case.
Yeah.
So,
you
know,
the glove don't fit.
You must acquit. Rest in peace to Johnny Cochran. It's like, you know, that literally was a defining moment for the rest of his life. And it will follow us. That's like pop culture history that will just follow us, period. But,
which so much racial undertones, by the way. Do you remember that reaction?
And that's why I said polarizing is the word.
White people reactions.
Down the middle. It was almost like down the middle. You had white people and black people on both sides. And they would just go to, people were having reaction parties. Work stopped. School stopped. And you had people being filmed. Their reaction as soon as the verdict was dropped. Also, people standing outside of the courthouse. I think that was like the birth of court TV or shortly thereafter, because everybody was so invested in this trial. And then when they said not guilty, all you saw on the news were reactions from across the country from groups of white people and groups of black people.
Yeah.
And the black people, the majority of the clips, they're cheering, crying and saying, oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. And then you have white people on the other side of the aisle that are stunned, gasping. And crying tears of sadness, not joy.
Yeah.
So a lot of people feel like there was no justice in that case, including Nicole Brown Simpson's family and the family of Ron Goldman, who you famously know his father, sued O.J. Simpson civilly. So, you know, that's just something, unfortunately, that will always be attached, and no disrespect to the victims. Their stories are important as well. But he was a family man before all of that. He was a beloved athlete, a beloved actor. He did have qualities that people loved about him. You have people who believe he was innocent to this day. So, you know, regardless of how we feel about O.J. Simpson, he is definitely someone that will be talked about for years to come.
I want to ask a question and or get some clarification on something really quickly. Sure. The reason that he was released the second time, was that because of good behavior or this this recent cancer diagnosis?
So that was he just was released on parole.
Okay.
It just was a parole thing. In fact, that's kind of one of the bullet points that I wanted to hear, which I'll get to in just a second. But I think I want to talk about that trial, because I might have been a little older than you two at the time when that happened. And I know everybody was kind of tapped in, but I might have been maybe 12 years old when that verdict was read. And I remember watching The Chase. And of course, the trial was on every day or every other day, whatever it was. Sounds like I'm name dropping. I swear I'm not. But Johnny Cochran and my father, they went to school together. They were like really, really good friends. And so I was able to see Johnny Cochran on TV. It was like, yo, you know, and I'm in Arizona at this time, but like Johnny Cochran is on TV. This is crazy.
Johnny.
And I'm not really, you know, these are just people.
Right.
I don't really know how important they are, because, you know, you're 12, you're not reading like Johnny Cochran is this big deal, you know, whatever. In any event. And then the other name drop, my uncle Gary Cooper was in the film with OJ. Naked Gun 33 1/3. Yeah. And so, you know, that was a name that was, so OJ's on. I didn't know OJ or anything like that. But anyway, just these are names that, you know, I'm like, wow, this is crazy, you know. But anyway, when the verdict was read and there was this divide in America, I think the reason it was so important was because it was such a role reversal. It was like Opposite Day or Freaky Friday or something like that, because for a moment, and a critical moment, and indeed a lasting moment, white people got a chance to know what it felt like to come up against the criminal justice system and it fail you.
Wow.
And for a moment, a lasting moment, Black people got a chance to come up against a criminal justice system that sentenced us to death, that took kids away for kid crimes, that, you know, let people walk free for lynching Emmett Till and hanging children in trees and raping and all this stuff. Black people got a chance to know what it felt like to get a win, to get a point on the board, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the cheers were more based on that fact, not the fact that OJ got away with murder. I think on some level, you know, people are like, oh, the most likely person to have done this is, I mean,
he wrote a book. Yeah, called know, If I
even
Did
before then, even before then, yeah. Even in the moment where you're just kind of watching it and you're like, oh man, listen, you know, he's in the back of a truck. He's like, this is not the behavior of somebody. So I think on some level, you know, a lot of Black people, maybe not everyone, because Johnny Cochran is a masterful lawyer, right?
Right.
It provide a masterful defense, right? But he's some brilliant. People just kind of felt in their gut, in their spirit, like, yeah, he probably did that. You know what I mean? But why cheer? Well, you know what? There's been so many instances of us getting hammered by the criminal justice system when we're innocent. Mm-hmm. That, again, that role reversal is somebody actually walking free, someone Black actually walking free when they probably did it. Is just like, yeah, okay, now you all get a chance to know what it feels like to be us all the time.
And I'd even venture to say, if I can piggyback off what you just
please
said,
jump in.
Because that was what, 1994? We're just a few years from the Rodney King beating.
Yeah.
And what happened with that case and the LA riots. There and I'm talking about early 90s.
Excellent. Black people, I'm glad you said that.
Black people were still riled up about that.
That was 92. Yeah.
Yes, that predated that was the biggest story for Black folks in the country before OJ came along. And again, I was just a small child, but I know what happened. I remember watching the video of them beating Rodney King. They had it on tape.
Yeah.
And what happened in the courtroom with these two white officers? It's like that was the catalyst for the LA riots. So you have now 1994. We're watching the trial of the century, as everyone likes to call it. Mm-hmm. And O.J. Simpson gets a break. To your point, that I think is, and I never even put that together in my mind, but just you mentioning that reminded me of the fact that we just came off of a huge disappointment at first. And I believe those officers got off the first time. Were not prosecuted, or I should say they didn't receive the punishment that fit the crime. According to most people, when they beat Rodney King. So I think that Black people were angry. I think that Black people, regardless of whether they had concrete evidence against O.J. Simpson to say he in fact did it, they would have been happy that he didn't go to jail simply because we were looking for some type of justice. And if it wasn't going to be street justice, let it be justice in the courtroom.
Yeah. There
definitely there was... presented a larger picture.
Yeah. Now, I do want to be very fair here because we're trying to tell the whole story. OJ, Jay-Z came out with a song recently, and it was a song about OJ. What was it called? I forget the name of the song, but he starts it by reciting a quote from OJ, and he says, "I'm not Black, I'm OJ," and OJ actually did say that. So it's actually called The Story of OJ. That's the name.
Yeah. Yep. I was just about to say
that. And that got me to thinking, and I was like, you know what? I do remember way back then during the trial that people were trying to say that OJ isn't really for us. You know, OJ tries to fly above the Black, you know, and there's a lot of athletes. I know a handful. I know that Muhammad Ali is an athlete that is very much Fist Up for the People. And I know that there's a football player. I want to say Jim Brown. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right. So Jim Brown. And the only reason I would even know his name is because of his activism. Yeah. So I hope I got that right. If I didn't, forgive me. I'm just not tapped into that stuff like I should be. I probably should be now because I do this. But anyway, and OJ was not, he just wasn't cut from that cloth, and he was in a really good position to be. And famously, he kind of went in the opposite direction. Instead of being neutral, he was almost like, hey, there's nothing to see here. Everybody, let's all party. You know, it's all good. I got mine. Y'all can get yours. You know what I mean? And one of the things that I say a lot, of course, is that, you know, I'm very lucky to be here. Everybody works hard. Everybody, you know, does all these things, right? Of course. But some people have that kind of mentality like OJ, which is like to look at yourself and say, oh, I'm here because I worked hard, ignoring the fact that other people work hard. Oh, I'm here because I'm special, because I'm smarter than everyone else, or because I deserve this. Instead of, oh, I'm very lucky and fortunate, and a certain set of circumstances came together to allow me to be in this position, and I would like to see more people in this position. So let me try to create the sort of changes that allows more access to this station in life. You know, for me personally, and I know that why it's a widely held view in our community, is that, you know, talent and brilliance is something that is equally distributed throughout humanity, regardless of race. An opportunity is not, right? And so when you have the opportunity coupled with the talent, coupled with, you know, a couple of things that is kind of standard issue, then you get the success stories. And for people that choose to not view it that way and choose to think of themselves as, oh, I'm him, you know, it looks a little bit goofy. And so I want to say that OJ is a little bit goofy for more than just, you know, what people know him for being goofy for. He's kind of goofy for that statement. And from what I understand, he really did kind of feel that way all the way through to the end. So, you know, he's Black. We got to talk about him. But that is something that.
But they say when you reach a certain tax bracket, that's what it is. I mean, I've heard people have the same commentary about Oprah.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But, you know, I think that, you know, Oprah, and you don't get to be that wealthy and that successful without people picking you apart. You can't please everybody. Right. There's not everything you can do. And this in no way is a defense of Oprah, or is it a further condemnation of OJ? I just think that kind of comes with the territory. Unless you give all your money away and live like a pauper, you know, there's going to be people having, you know, an issue with you. People take issue with the car I drive. You know, if I wear a Rolex or something like that, people will take issue with that because I'm super, you know, for the people, right? And I understand that. You know, I get it, because you don't need a Rolex. You don't need a sports car. You don't need these sorts of things. But I also feel like life is not just one thing. This is a little bit beyond the scope of the OJ thing. But, you know, life is not just one thing. Life is a lot of things. And you should take a moment to sample every part of life. And in this moment, I'm sampling activism. I'm going to fight for my people. I mean, I don't want to spend my whole life fighting. Nobody does. I wasn't born to fight. I should be able to be happy and laugh too. I should be able to not have to read the news and cry before I turn on the cameras, you know? And yeah. I feel like the same is true with Oprah, but I feel like turning your back on it, like an OJ Simpson, I feel like that's the wrong way to be, particularly when you come from a group of people who look up to you, who you're a de facto hero. And for you to say, nah, you know, I'm not Black, I'm OJ, that just feels a little bit insulting. And that's not the only part of his story. Of course, there's a lot more here that I'm sure that our listeners can read up if you want to learn more about this. Of course, there's the chase in the Bronco. That's probably the most famous police chase in history. For those that are not familiar, please check that out. Johnny Cochran's defense, you know, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. You know, that statement is probably one of the most famous things ever uttered in a courtroom setting. You know, his book, the book If I Did It, which was extremely problematic. And I think the proceeds of that ended up going to the Goldman family, because OJ was not in a position to profit off of that. But there's a whole story there. There's tons of documentaries on this too, if you're really interested.
And the story of OJ, which was redone, that won awards and was full of some amazing actors. So if you want to know all this, you could watch the story of OJ.
Boom, there
and
you go.
Will answer all of those questions,
and it's all there. And then there's some things that happen Oh, and real quick, I want to make sure that I say that he was found liable for the deaths in 1997. I think we touched on that. And he was ordered to pay $33.5 million for the deaths of his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. And he figured out a way to kind of skirt that somehow to where he didn't have to actually pay that money. And then later in 2008, he was convicted of 10 counts of armed robbery in Vegas. He was trying to steal back some sports memorabilia that was stolen from him. But he was stealing it from the person that not from the person that stole it, but from the person who had it. And that ended up getting him in, you know, in prison. And he was in there for 9 years, something like that. And then he got out and lived his last years as a free man. But by then he had started to age and so forth. And those some of these things may not make it into every documentary, but there's a whole story there. Obviously, OJ is a huge American figure. And we could spend all day talking about him. But I think we've done a brilliant job. Certainly, you both have provided context, and I'm going to be honest, you guys really did educate me a lot on Mr. C before we even started rolling. So that credit goes to you. And then, of course, Chris Thompson for inspiring us to record this episode. So I'd like to thank you both for taking some time and talking about this. I couldn't have asked for a better pairing to cover these topics with. So once again, today's guests are Morgan Wood and Bree Wood.
Thank you, Ramses. It's always a pleasure.
Yes.
This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show is produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I am your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. Join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.